Blog Talk Radio.
Well, well, well. Some of y'all thought I died. Some of y'all thought I was deported. Somebody said on Twitter I was locked up. But no. I'm back with my man. Just Jay, the dude who emailed the administration at Coachella because he wanted a hologram of Raekwon in the Can It Be Oh So Simple video. Not for Raekwon, but for the Snow Beach pullover. Just Jay.
This is true. That's a true story.
It is. What up? And then, on my other side, from Harlem.
Yo.
The west side of Harlem.
You know it.
Don't confuse it with the east side.
Don't
my man,
the east side.
Doctor. Exactly. The man, the myth, the legend, Dr. Doom DiBiase. Diesel.
I circulate the hood like teenage moms. What up?
And then we start right away.
Let's go, let's
just
go, let's
Jay,
go.
I know you've been foaming at the teeth for this subject, bro. Tom Brady, a cheater, thirsting. Again, not once, not twice, but thrice. A cheater. Just saying.
Well, Tom Brady. We knew this was the case. We knew that he did what they were saying that he didn't do. He tried to throw some people under the bus. Shit didn't work. Giving people free memorabilia so he could have a better grip on the football in the cold weather, in the snowy weather, in the rainy weather. These are the facts. No one is saying that they wouldn't have beat the Colts without the deflated footballs. The point of the matter is, it's an advantage. It's an advantage for you to do it, which is why Tom Brady did it, and which is why he's going to get suspended. I don't want to hear anybody talk about conspiracies. I don't want to hear anybody talking about this is a setup. I don't want to hear anybody talking about, oh, so-and-so. No. This is what it is. He cheated. He got an advantage. And we don't know how long he's been cheating and getting an advantage by having the footballs deflated so that he can hold on to it better. The Patriots as a team don't fumble the football. This is like a trend, a record trend in the NFL. One out of every, I believe, 100 snaps. That's unheard of in football, especially for a cold weather team. It's an advantage. A competitive advantage. Man, this is damning to Tom Brady's legacy. This is damning again to Tom Brady's legacy. And he didn't go shake Obama's hand when they went to the White House. So you tell me, America, what type of asshole is Tom Brady? You won't shake the president's hand. He went to
he wasn't there.
Threw three people under the bus. Tried to save his leg. What kind of asshole is Tom Brady?
Interesting. Just Jay, I have a question for you.
I'm listening.
Bro, is Tom Brady on the level of Lance Armstrong in terms of athlete scumbags.
Yes. Lance Armstrong lied. Try to throw people under the bus. Tom Brady lied. Try to throw people under the bus. And he didn't go shake Obama's hand. Fuck Tom Brady. And his legacy. Trash. Garbage.
Oh, Diesel.
All I got to say is five. That's all he needs to say. Five. Five what, you may ask?
I don't think you need to know
what five represents, do you?
Five what?
Chicks.
Five what?
Five chips. Period.
They don't have five chips. They have four.
We coming for another one this year.
Oh, you're coming
five,
for another
four,
one?
Five, four, no different.
Oh, okay.
We coming for another one this year. What are you talking about?
I got it. I understand.
Woo! That Harlem Heat.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, when people say things like that, first of all, it's overblown because quarterbacks like different weights for the ball. So, like Aaron Rodgers, who have bigger hands, have the ball inflated to a different size. Now, what the report does not say is that Tom Brady asked them to deflate it to an illegal size. What it says is those guys are responsible for getting the ball to a certain size. What they do after that is not his call. Now, what the report does say is that they tested 10 Patriot balls and 4 Colts balls, and that every last one of them was below the poundage that they gave them. So the Colts balls weren't at the weight that they were supposed to be either. So really, the report says, it actually says,
if it's so definitive and he's such a dick, why didn't he just come out and say he did it? Why? Because there's no evidence. Nothing. Two guys talking shit through text messages about Carl. And one of them, it's so self-important, he even calls himself the deflator, like he's the fucking Terminator. Get the fuck out of here. Listen, I say to you, like I say to people who bitch about people running up the score, you don't like it? Stop.
But
Joe Montana is coming for you. Jerry Rice got to the 49ers and was dropping balls. Then he started using Stick'Em and became the greatest receiver of all time, according to his career. Is he a piece of shit? Is he a cheater?
Yes.
Good.
He's not a
I'm
piece
glad
of
you
shit.
Feel that way.
He's not a piece of shit
on Tom Brady's level, but he is a cheater. The greatest of all time.
Still.
So, all of this is nonsense.
At the end of the day,
going
Elway, on fire. Montana, Staubach, Aikman, Brady doesn't go in that ledger. He could get 6. He could get 7.
Whatever, B.
But we're always going to know. He cheated.
Knock it off, B.
And that's the fact.
Knock it off, B.
That is the fact. And to say that every quarterback has a preference for the football, there is a specific level that footballs are supposed to be at.
13 pounds?
The point is,
again,
Tom Brady
likes
his balls to be able to be gripped. And whether we want
to
admit
everyone
it or
likes
not,
their balls to be gripped.
That's how he does it. He wants to have a grip on the ball.
Just say, you don't like the
and
ball
that's
to be gripped.
What he does it. A cheater. A piece of shit wouldn't even shake Obama's hand. And he's deflating football. And he's a fucking asshole.
And he's
from
a four-time
Boston.
Champion.
And he lost
GOAT.
Two to the Giants. And that's what?
So fucking what? So fucking what? What did I even get to the playoffs, nigga?
Undefeated. Undefeated.
So
Elway,
what?
Montana, Aikman, Brady is not in the convo. Period.
Says the
period.
Loser.
No
worry
one
about
can
it.
Say. No one can say anything about Montana. No one can say anything about Elway.
He lost.
No
four.
One can say anything about Aikman doing anything to gain a competitive advantage, aka cheating to win. But we can say that about Tom Brady.
You will say that about Tom Brady because the Giants ain't
no,
shit.
No, the entire NFL, except for Patriots fans, will say that about Tom Brady. And that's fine because you're a fan. Objectively speaking, he's a cheater. And the only
and?
People who don't understand that are
and?
Bostonians, Brazilians, and people who are Patriots fans who live in cities that are better than Boston. That's it.
People from
you fall
teams.
Into that category, and that's fine. But
people
he's
from
still
losing teams.
A cheater.
People from losing teams.
Cheater.
Period. You sound like a Jets fan right now.
Oh, I'm not a Jets fan because I got rings, four, and two came at your expense. Oh.
When is the last time you competed for anything?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it
does. Oh, yeah,
no,
it does.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
It really doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't matter because those blemishes hurt. They hurt. That's why it doesn't matter. Those blemishes on that record, that 4-2, those two hurt.
Not me.
They are painful.
They don't hurt
they
me.
They are painful. They stick in the craw. Cheating ass motherfucking Tom Brady. Please.
Moving forward. Oh, Diesel, is there any merit in Baltimore ripping down their own local stores, homes, in reaction to the Freddie Gray incident?
Of course
there is.
Is
there any merit in that?
Of course there is.
How so?
Now, first of all, we'd have to assume that the people who did that damage were from Baltimore, which I'm not ready to concede because there are always government agitators who precipitate those things, and that's a historic fact. So, just like in Ferguson, I'm not willing to concede that that's the people from Baltimore anyway. But take this into consideration. There was a 10,000-person peaceful protest before that that got no press, that got no attention, that didn't get any love whatsoever. Listen, in negotiation, the first thing they tell you is when you go to war, you take all your weapons. When people bring up Martin Luther King, there's two things they don't bring up. One is that his peaceful approach left him on the balcony with a hole in his head. And two, his peace only worked because if it didn't work, there was the threat of more militant people behind him. Without Malcolm X as a polarizing figure, without SNCC as young dudes ready to rock, without the Black Panther Party ready to rock, the president does not negotiate with Martin Luther King. And black people stand in the back of the bus or whatever the fuck they were doing in 55 or 65. That negotiation only worked because Dr. King was the easy way out for those people. As long as he was in front, the violence does not come with him. So even in peace, the threat of violence is always a viable tool. So to people who say there's no use in the Baltimore been fucked up for 40 years since, ironically, the riots that happened after Martin Luther King was killed. They done had three homicide life on the street, the corner, and the wire, chronicling how fucked up Baltimore is. And guess what? Nobody gave a goddamn. They took money from their schools, but they got new stadiums. Camden Yards looking fantastic. The Ravens got new stadiums, but the kids ain't got no school books. Peace. That's what peace gets you. Not a fucking thing. When you negotiate in a currency that the people understand. And these people don't understand anything but power, money, and violence. If you call the National Guard out, you got to pay them. If not one building burns and they call the National Guard out, guess what? You got to pay them. It is an expense. It is a line item on a budget. They don't understand you unless you cost them money or you cost them blood. So, of course, riots are valid. They're always valid. The only people who say that are ignorant people. First of all, black people in Baltimore don't own anything. So how are they burning up their own stuff? They don't own shit. It ain't their neighborhood. They've written them places. It ain't their neighborhood. They don't own anything. So anybody who says that is, I kind of compare that to those people that talk that black on black crime shit. I automatically just ignore you. Whenever I hear that, I can't even take you seriously. So, you know, let them say what they want. But you don't go to any war without being able to use your weapon. You know what? I'm going to invade Iraq, but I'm not going to use tanks. Just going to use guns. No plane. Just guns. Who does that? Nobody. So why should black people or any oppressed people come to the table without being ready to rock? That doesn't make any sense.
That's Jake.
Yes, it has merit. Absolutely. What we've seen, you know, in plain and simple terms is that America does not care about black people dying.
Yeah.
This is what we can, at the basic level, we can understand that. But what seems to happen is that America does care about property being lost.
Yep.
So they don't care about people dying, black people specifically, at the hands of the state, but they do care about rich people's property being damaged, burned, and looted. That's what gets people in power understanding that something has to change. They don't care about life. They care about property. And it's even more fucked up for black folks because at one point in time, we were the property in this country. So we have to understand that they don't care. The ruling class does not care about your life.
Nope.
They're not here to defend that. But they are here to defend that
window,
yes,
broken spine.
Exactly. They're here to defend the CVS to make sure that doesn't happen again. They're not here to make sure another Freddie Gray doesn't happen. They're here to make sure that the rest of Baltimore doesn't go the way that it went 2 weeks ago. That buildings don't get destroyed. That people don't steal things that don't belong to them. This is what they understand, the loss of property.
Mm-hmm.
And to take that away, to take that threat away, you're really handcuffing yourself. So why handcuff ourselves? Especially in this country where it is a right. It is from the very beginning.
To assemble.
The right to assemble. And nobody in 1770 went to King George and said, please, Mr. King, could you let us free?
They picked up the mammoth.
They tore down shit. They burnt shit down. It was called the Boston Tea Party, where they destroyed property.
And they ironically, the first guy shot in that shit was black, too.
The first guy that got killed was black, exactly. So to say to black folks to get your grievances heard and to get some sort of remedy, that we shouldn't follow in the footsteps of the forefathers of this country, is complete bullshit, especially when all you hear about is how we should follow what the founders of the country intended for the country to be. They found this country on violence. It's the foundation rock. Blood ran through the streets to form America, to change America. That's always been the case. You got to burn shit down to make people listen and hear and understand that you are serious.
You got to make it real for them.
Otherwise, it's just a life. And they've proven over and over and over again that they don't care about a life. So yes, the rioting, the looting, absolutely has merit.
What does a win in this entire situation look like, though? And is that even concrete yet, Judge Jay?
You know, for Freddie Gray's family, you want to see the people who you know, caused his death, who killed him, you know, suffer the consequences. You want them to pay for their actions. That's a win. For the city of Baltimore, I don't know. Because a win for the city of Baltimore has to be a win for black folks throughout the nation. Because that's what we're really talking about. It's not just about Baltimore and the deplorable, you know, living situations that black people find themselves in. The high levels of lead. Doing an experiment. They did an experiment in Baltimore to see how much lead people can take. Freddie Gray's body had 2 to 4 times higher levels of lead than is allowed because they did not abate the properties because they wanted to see what would be the effect. So it's not just about changing Baltimore. It is about changing how we are perceived and viewed and policed, and how our communities are perceived and viewed and funded. That's the change that needs to happen. That's a win. But that happening, I'm not certain. I'm not even certain about,
yeah,
you know, those guys getting locked up.
Yeah, because nobody saw what happened to him. That's the problem. So you're not going to have a definitive witness to say, yo, I saw this happen. And the investigation is being done by the police. So I don't really feel confident that there's going to be a finite resolution from this case. I don't believe it. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens as this turns out, because the case is kind of weak legally.
Moving forward. No, continue. I'm sorry.
You know, it, you ever, you know, hear the theory overpromise and underdeliver? You know, I think that people are being conditioned so much to the impenetrableness of the police that people were celebrating an indictment, not a conviction. You know, people were celebrating an arrest when there's so much more to this journey and to this story. But like we said in the beginning, to bring it back full circle, man, they got to feel it. They got to feel it like your parents feel it. You know, you got babies. You're gonna, sooner or later, you're going to have to tell your baby how to behave to the police, and they don't have to do that. And see, this is where racism takes place. Now, let me explain something. Let me keep it 100% funky, man. The police are not racist, right? They are an arm of white supremacy, which is over everybody, including white women and some white men, right? Their problem is that they think they're the ultimate authority. They beat the shit out of retarded people. They beat the shit out of white people, white women. There's a case the other day where a dude slammed a white girl's face on the concrete just because she walked in front of his police car. We're dealing with the mentality of people who are corrupted by their own power. And then it's magnified like, yo, I'm the ultimate authority, and you niggas don't want to listen to me? So it's kind of double. So race is a factor. But there's a problem with the mentality of people who police. It's universal, right? And white people so dumb and so racist that they gonna side with the police over black people. Like this didn't happen in Germany 40 and 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago. Like Hitler didn't, you know, round up the Jews the same way. You think that because they're coming for somebody else, they're not coming for you?
But that's been
the police
that's
coming
been,
for all of you.
That's been the blueprint of this country, though. It's to make people who have things in common, blacks and whites, who have things in common, make the white people not see the commonness of the struggle with the black folk.
Yeah,
put them,
even Latinos just
give them
for that shit now.
Just give them enough. Just give them enough where they can look back and say, "I'm not them."
Yep.
I'm not a dirty.
Make him a middle manager. Give him 55 grand instead of 50, and so, let him snitch on everybody else.
This is you know, part and parcel of what the United States of America does. It separates. It's like we talk about, you know, voting.
The melting pot. They're trying to call it the melting.
How can a working class person vote Republican? The only reason they can vote, how can a working class white person vote Republican? The only reason they can is because
they're racist.
Republicans couch their message in racist terms.
Yeah.
Immigration, affirmative action. You know, we want things to be like they were in
like
the
50s
and the 40s. The only thing they don't put in at the end of that sentence is when the niggas knew their place.
Yeah, yeah. And what's so funny is that nobody has made more gains under affirmative action than white women.
Absolutely.
And they still don't believe it. You know, they still refuse to recognize that they're under the thumb as well.
So when we talk about the police, it's that belief that we are not them, that America gives you.
Yep.
Everybody who comes to this country who is not a black man or woman eventually comes to believe they are better than the niggers. Our people have worked hard. We don't take handouts. I don't know why.
But you live in a farm state.
I don't know why those blacks just can't go to school. Yada, yada. The list goes on and on. Police, if you didn't do anything, they wouldn't
Why'd
bother
you, run?
You. They wouldn't talk to you if you didn't do anything. They wouldn't ask you questions if something didn't spark in their mind to ask you a question. They don't ask me questions because I'm not a nigger. That's the point. And the police understand that. And getting back to your point about how the police view themselves, I trace that personally. I've always had bad experience with police officers in New York City from childhood. I really saw a change in police officers post 9/11. I've said this before, and I'll say it again right now. After 9/11, after being told how great they were
heroes,
police officers, firefighters, came to believe in the myth that they are indeed superheroes, that
yep.
they cannot be questioned, that they are actually above everyone else, looking down, protecting us as if they are gods on Mount Olympus.
Yep. And that don't even know the laws they represent.
Exactly. So post 9/11, when everyone was, oh my God, the police are so great, there's this and that, they're heroes, they rush, they save us, they protect us, yada, yada, yada. Inside the police departments, not just in New York City, but throughout this country, that really took root. So now you have police departments, police officers, who really believe in that hero myth of the institution and of themselves. So how dare you question me? How dare you look at me in a way that's disrespectful? How dare you not call me sir? How dare you question my integrity? You question my reason for stopping you. You should be happy that I'm here to protect you from, first it was, you should be happy I'm here to protect you from the crazy niggas. Now it's, you should be happy I'm here to protect you from the crazy niggas and the terrorists. It's deep.
And speaking of deep, we have a caller, and I have a feeling I know who it is. Peace, caller.
What up? It's Malice Attended.
Yo.
A.K.A. Hate on Just Jay.
All right, you're going to have to excuse some of the ambient noise. I'm at work right now.
Nah, go ahead, bro.
You have a job. You get respect.
Yes, I do.
Continue.
Gainful employment is always a plus.
So have we discussed the fight yet?
Not yet.
Nah.
But nice segue, and I know you're a big
exactly.
boxing fan. You are a dedicated listener, so I think you deserve that segue. So your thoughts on that mess?
You know, I'm not really a boxing fan. I'm not really a sports fan. O'Diesel knows that about me. But my father is a big boxing fan, so I kind of grew up watching it. I was used to him making a big deal about it. I know a little bit about Floyd, so I decided to watch this match. I'll just put it out there right now. I don't like Floyd, mostly because I think he's an asshole. I didn't even know about the domestic violence charges until the witch hunt for him started prior to this fight. You know, I'll say this, he won it fair and square. And I mean, if you're a boxing fan and you're into the science of it, I could see why you might think it was a good match. I mean, to me, as just a casual observer, it wasn't very entertaining because he does the same thing every fight. He wins each fight the same way. So, you know, I wasn't really rooting for him, and then the match was boring on top of that. I was just kind of underwhelmed by the whole thing. So if they meet up again, I'm not going to be paying for that. One quick thing I do want to address, though, is this narrative that seems to have developed that if you're black and you don't support Floyd or you don't like him, that you're somehow complicit with white supremacy, or you're somehow trying. Just Jay knows what I'm talking about too. Just Jay knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, you know that narrative has popped up. I mean, you know, my reasons for not liking Floyd is, like I said, he's an asshole. He's also done little things that make me question just how much he's in the corner of black America. He was one of the first people to jump out and defend Justin Bieber when he got taken to task for using the N-word with those jokes and songs and stuff that he was doing. That made me look at him a little sideways. And, you know, some of the other things he's said and done over the years kind of make me look at him sideways, although I did support him when he went off on Larry Merchant. Just fuck Larry Merchant. But, you know, that notion that if you're black, you have to support Floyd, you have to like him, that's a bunch of fucking nonsense. You're right, that's a bunch of fucking nonsense. You know, people, that's just people, the people who think like that are black people who already know that no black person wants to be called an Uncle Tom. No black person wants to be called a house nigga or a sellout. So that's the card that gets played whenever they want to shame a black person into supporting somebody that they like. I'm not fucking with that. You know, I'm not down with the racist comments made about Floyd on Twitter. I'm not down with that at all. That's bullshit. But at the same time, fuck Floyd. That's it.
Okay. Just say your thoughts.
Yo, I thought, like Malice just said, if you are a boxing fan and you like matchups and you like to see fighters not just knock people out but box, this was a master class in boxing that Floyd
yep,
put on.
Sure was.
The guy did whatever he wanted to in the ring and didn't get hit, which is what you want to do when you're boxing. You want to punch but not get punched back. So for everyone who's complaining about how Floyd ran and Floyd this and Floyd scared, I saw none of that. What I saw was a lot of jabs, a lot of straight rights, a couple of occasional hooks, and a defense that would not allow Manny Pacquiao to mount
any type of
substantial offense. People got to understand, Floyd Mayweather in that boxing ring is one of the best that you have ever seen, period. Period. Give him his due as a boxer and understand that boxing is not just knockouts. It is about making your opponents look silly. It is about not getting hit. And it is about tagging the shit out of your opponent, which is what Floyd did on Saturday and which is what he's done throughout his career. And for the people, let me just say this one last thing. For people saying if the fight happened 6 years ago, man,
like
Pacquiao
Floyd,
would be
like
would
Floyd
be
wasn't
Floyd.
Younger 6 years ago.
Exactly.
That's his thing.
Manny would have thrown more punches 6 years ago. 6 years ago, Floyd was faster than he is right now.
Yeah,
so
like what the fuck
are
these
really
people talking about?
What are we talking
about? No, here's the best one.
Yo, Floyd waited till Manny Pacquiao was past his prime.
Floyd 2 years older than that.
Exactly.
What are you talking about? Boy, 38, man, he's 36. How the fuck he wait until
a younger dude is past his prime?
That don't even make no sense.
Look, man.
So.
Listen, people getting involved in this shit. The reason that people is supporting Floyd, you know, first of all, I don't know him. You know, people didn't like Ali neither. You know, this I'm the greatest stuff, it happened after the story was told. You know what I'm saying? What you call it? What's my man? Joe Frazier was feeding his family, and to hype up a fight, he called him Uncle Tom. That's some real bitch-made shit. And I like Ali. But, you know, a lot of this stuff is a narrative. And Floyd decided to control his narrative. So he bought himself out of his contract. For a guy who can't read, that's a hell of a risk. He put up his money and he bought himself out of his contract. It's not really a point of if you don't support Floyd, you don't support black people. But when you look at 70% of Latinos betting against him, root for Manny, when you look at, they did a study on the word nigga after the fight. And the shit went up like 1,000%. They was calling Floyd all kinds of niggas in different languages. In Chinese, or I forget, it might not be Chinese. It might be whatever they speak in the Philippines or
Filipino.
Asia. It's Samnag, which is dark, right? So they nigga version is Nagnag.
Mm.
That shit went up. You know, Moreno, all that shit. So all these people that black people supposed to be forming coalitions with and supposed to be doing this and that with, they calling him a nigga. What did Floyd do to be called a nigga? He didn't do anything. It's a fight. It's a boxing match. He got to hype the fight up, right? So he got to be a villain. Deion Sanders did that shit for his whole career. And when he made his Hall of Fame speech, what did he say? I did this all for you, mama. All that gold teeth shit, Jerry Curl shit in the beginning, all that prime time shit.
Pretty boy Floyd.
So Floyd is the boogeyman. You buy those fights to see him get his ass knocked out or to see him win. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to sell that fight. You don't know Floyd. You don't hang out with him. You don't know what he does. You don't know what charities he gives to. Look, man, that domestic violence shit, John Lennon was a piece of shit. I don't see no white people jumping up to stop imagining shit. All right? He beat the dog shit out of his first wife and held his fucking son hostage. All right? Gandhi was the biggest bastard. I don't hear nobody bringing up his personal life, discredit what he did in this world. So, nah, I'm not going to sit there and let people go, well, you're watching a sport where people beat the dog shit out of each other for 12 rounds, and you want to take a moral high ground? Brittany Griner, biggest Shaq, and just beat the dog shit out of her girlfriend and got arrested.
Where's
the call for her?
Exactly.
Nobody said anything. Where's the outrage on Hope Solo? So this shit only seems to happen to black men. Now, I'm not here to make a statement on what they do in their life is right or wrong. But Mike Tyson got some fucking nerve trying to speak on the character of Floyd Mayweather. So when these people, they part of the agenda, right? So Floyd said, you know what? Fuck that. ESPN, them two girls that were shitting on me, they can't come to the fight. And he's right. I'm trying to promote a fight, and these two women are telling people to boycott the fight.
Why should
you be allowed to come see my fight for free while you telling people not to buy it on pay-per-view or go see it? Nah, you shouldn't be allowed to see the fight.
And to your point, why do they want to go to see the fight in the second place? If Floyd
is
so horrible, he's horrible, he's despicable, he's a horrible human being, he's a piece of crap, he's a degenerate, you know, who hits women, why do you want to cover the fight? There was a basketball game 7 on.
Hell yeah, it was one of the greatest basketball playoff games of all time. Why
there was
you
a whole lot of stuff. So you should have said, thank you, Floyd, I didn't want to come to your fight anyway. But they writing screeds about this.
Yeah.
You know, this speaks to the hypocrisy. And, you know, the hypocrisy is really strong, man. It's really strong.
Your boss is sanctioning this fight. Your boss been covering this fight since we thought about it, since before it was out. Your boss, your company, been clamoring for this fight. You know how many people made money off this fight?
Mm.
This is a $500 million fight. That's talking about the fight, right?
Mm.
How many people have fight parties? How many people sold beers and liquor based off this fight? How many people charge $30 a head off this fight?
To get into their
they charging you $100 a screen. Your venue holds 300. Let's say your venue got 12 screens, right? It might cost you $5,000 to show this fight. You just charge $300. You just charge 300 people $50 to come see that fight. That's $15,000, and you ain't even sold a beer yet.
Mm.
So this fight is an economic booster, right? People selling T-shirts. The parking dudes is getting money. The hoes is getting money. Vegas is getting money. Clubs is getting money. Or Floyd Mayweather being the boogeyman. People need to shut the fuck up. You watching a boxing match, B. That shit is barbarity. You might as well watch a chicken fight. You watching two people beat each other up for 12 rounds. Just because there's rules don't mean it ain't the most primal shit we ever had. Man against man until somebody drops. But we supposed to be civilized society. You talking about some domestic violence shit?
That he went to jail for.
That he paid for? He went to jail for it.
Mm.
Shit, they let Hope Solo play soccer while she was on trial
charged
for the shit. And she beat up a minor. So, you know, it's not a point of defending Floyd Mayweather.
No.
It's not a point of sticking up for Floyd Mayweather.
No.
But it's like these people never saw a boxing match before. How was this fight? Have you seen a Floyd Mayweather fight before? Was this fight any different from any of those fights?
No, and he won the other.
What made you
too.
Think that if you thought Manny Pacquiao was going to knock Floyd Mayweather out, you're either a bigot or a dumbass who don't know shit about boxing. You either want his black ass knocked out and you bet over race, or you're a dumbass who ain't never seen a boxing match before. If you thought that, and then, right? How is the guy that ran the whole fight throwing more punches and landing more punches?
And landing more.
But he ran.
But he was
threw
scared.
More. He landed more, but he ran. The penis don't even make no sense. Even when black people is speaking out against Floyd, right, there's still a racial undercurrent to the shit. Because they think that he's some kind of monkey nigga. Because he can't read. But let me tell you something. He did one thing and one motion that made him a boss. He bet on himself. Before all that money Mayweather shit, when he was Pretty Boy Floyd, he put up 750 stacks of his own money before all of this mega fight shit and said, fuck Bob Arum. I'm going to be free. Ain't nobody going to make no money off me like that. I'm not going to be no hoe. And you think about that shit, man. All these niggas that want to, you know, they want to huckle buck, they want to dance for the man, they want to do this, they want to do that. And this guy, the monkey nigga, was smart enough to say, no, I'm not going to do it. It's like LeBron James. They mad because this kid with a ghetto mom, with a teenage mom from Akron, is surrounded by his black friend, and they all get money, and he don't got no old-ass Jew manager or no lawyer, white guy, getting money from him. You gotta be cognizant of the things that's going on when actions happen. That, yo, I'm not here to say Floyd Mayweather's a great guy. I ain't here to say none of that shit. My question is, why is Floyd the abomination? Why is he the lightning rod for all of this shit? You know what I'm saying? So, nah, I don't care about what's going on. I don't care what's going on in none of these lives. Because for you to be famous, there's so much things you have to co-opt. For you to be great, there's so many things you have to give up and sacrifice. You can't possibly be a nice person. There's no way that you could be the best in the world at anything and be a nice person. Your Magic kissed Isaiah before the game and low-bridged him. Isaiah could have broke his neck. But he was standing in the way of Magic and a chip. So what did Magic do? He put him on his ass. Nobody is great that's a nice person. Who you know that's nice and great? We spoke about Lance Armstrong before. To protect his fucking legacy, this guy hid behind cancer patients. That is the lowest of the fucking low. And let me tell you something. White people still wanted to excuse him because he raised money for cancer. He destroyed people's lives. He actually threatened to sue people who were telling the truth. And in a sport where everybody acknowledges that the whole sport is doping, he wins 6 times and he's clean? Give me a break. Nobody great is a nice person. There's always something wrong when you decide to devote yourself on that kind of level. So, I'm not going to say, oh, Floyd is this, he's beating up women. Yo, James Brown was old as fuck and put hands on Tammy Terrell, man. You not going to get up off of that thing? Nah, you're going to keep your ass dancing. Michael Jackson is probably a pedophile. And I'm sure that it came from being molested himself. Because that shit replicates. You're not going to stop moonwalking. So people are very particular about the stances they take and who they decide to throw under the bus. And I don't like that shit, man. So Floyd won. If you don't like it, tough break.
kick rocks.
NBA
and
playoffs.
And when they rematch next year, you're going to be watching that shit too.
I'm going to be watching the fight this weekend. I know that's for sure.
Exactly.
NBA playoff situation. NBA playoffs. Oh, Diesel, where do you stand? What do you think?
Well, I called that Clippers winning the first round. I knew they was going to win that. That tough break for the Wizards, man. John Wall is playing out of his mind, averaging 17 points, 12 assists, 1.5 blocks a game, and he broke his hand. So he might be done for the playoffs. The Clippers, Chris Paul, sat out that first game. I think he should sit out tonight, too. They already took home court advantage. He got a hamstring. That's a very difficult injury, man. The worst that could happen is that they tie the series up, which you still got home court. So if I was them, I would sit him out again. I think he's sitting out tonight. Get rested, get healed, because there's another two rounds of the playoffs. I think Chicago missed a big opportunity last night to go up 2-0. Kevin Love obviously ain't playing, but JR wasn't playing, and they had the chance to go up 2-0. I think Tom Thibodeau is overrated as a coach. I think at best he's a defensive coordinator. I'm not really feeling the calls that he's been making. The Rockets had 64 free throws last night, man. That was bullshit. The Clippers was busting their ass for the first part of the game, and all of a sudden, to put it in perspective, the Spurs were fouling the Clippers on purpose, and they ain't have 64 fouls in the game. You know what I'm saying? So to shoot 64 fouls in a playoff game is a little bit peculiar. And Joey Crawford was the ref on that. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I don't know, man. Nothing with the Bulls is easy. I picked them to come out of the East before Kevin Love got hurt. So I got to stick with that pick. In the West, though, it would be really interesting if that Western Conference final was the Clippers and Memphis, because they don't like each other. And we ain't had a series like that with that kind of hatred in a long time, man. So I'm interested in that. I'm not really a lover of Golden State, because I don't think you can win a chip shooting jump shots. So we'll see how that goes. You know, it looks good in the regular season, but people are going to D up on you. You're not going to hit all them jump shots in a half court like they've been doing. So we'll see how that goes. But it's been the first round wasn't so good. It was a couple sweeps. But I don't know. I think the biggest question mark series is that Hawks series. Because if John Wall played, I think they would have beat the Hawks. Now, I don't know. So we'll see. Oh, and the Nets ain't shit, man. Deron Williams is the biggest disgrace, probably playing right now. He's probably the biggest disgrace with all that talent he had. Remember, 5 years ago, people were saying he was better than Chris Paul, man. Now, you got to shame him into having one good playoff performance. That's a disgrace, man. If I was the Nets, I'd just cut him. I just waved his ass. Fuck it. You can stretch for vision and pay that cap over some years. I wouldn't pay him $45 million for 2 years. Fuck him. He's a loafer.
All righty then. That's Jay. Damn.
Wow. Man, NBA playoffs, all I keep saying is I never thought that I would utter these words, but let's go Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, that's, man.
That's
yeah, man.
Another story for me. Let's go Chicago Bulls. Get these Cleveland Cavaliers.
But they say the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly. Get these Cleveland Cavaliers all the way the fuck up out of here. Period. But those other rounds, the other games, Clippers, Houston, Golden State, Memphis. You know, those are those. I think both of those series are going to go to seven. I think Atlanta's going to take it in six because John Wall is not playing.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Fractured his hand, so he's out. And I'm picking the Chicago Bulls in seven. Seven games, Bulls. Please.
Yeah, because they can never do it the right way. It's going to always be ugly with them.
And Thibodeau has got to play that bearded Serbian.
Yeah, man. He played 7 minutes last night.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play the guy. I don't understand why not. The guy was playing well towards the end of the year. Play him minutes, Tibbs. We need to get these Cavs the fuck out of here. And that's where I'm at.
Moving. Thank you. Still have hate in your heart for Cleveland, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. I wouldn't mind to see LeBron get hurt.
Damn. Damn.
The Prime Minister of Hate.
Yeah, man. That's fantastic hate right there.
Moving forward, speaking of hate, let's talk about the Clintons. The Clinton Foundation issues. Just Jay, please brief us.
I'm confused about all of this shit. They say they have irregularities with their funding, with the money, and at first they were saying, you know, states where people, foreign countries were paying them exorbitant amounts to get access, and then they're saying that, you know, they are not using the cash that they're getting to do all the things that they say that they're going to do, to which I say, oh, who the fuck cares? I don't fuck with the Clintons. Don't really care. But in American politics, money over everything. So access is what the name of the game. People pay funds, a lot of money. Sheldon Anderson, the Koch brothers, whoever else you wanna talk to, George Soros. These people pay tens of millions of dollars to get access. Lobbyists inhabit Washington, D.C. like freaking, you know, flies on ships.
Yep.
This is what the American political structure calls for. Ever since Citizens United, when the Supreme Court said that, you know, corporations are people, it's opened the floodgates. Why are people, you know, shocked or, you know, surprised that this could be happening? By the way, unfortunately, there's no actual proof that this is what the Clintons are doing, but why would we be surprised if that were to be the case? These freaking Republicans went to Las Vegas to talk to Sheldon Anderson, so he can give them hundreds of millions of dollars to run for president next year. Why do you think he's giving them that money? They want to get hurt on the other side. They need a benefactor. Why do you think they're crawling to people with money to fund their campaigns? Why are people with money willing to fund those campaigns to those sorts of numbers? Because they know that there's going to be something at the end of the rainbow. They know there'll be a pot of gold waiting for them because they'll have a politician in their back pocket. Why are people surprised? I'm not. And you know, sidebar, fuck Bill Clinton's apology for the horrible, horrible crime bill that he passed as president in 1993 that has laid the foundation, that's laid waste
for the
people of
prison
color.
Industrial complex.
Laid waste to our community.
She has some fucking nerve.
You don't get to say sorry, Bill Clinton, when you pass that policy. You don't get to say sorry and then move on. No. That's not acceptable. No, no. Thank you. Don't accept your apology.
His wife has some fucking nerve speaking on Baltimore, talking about there are inequities in the fucking criminal justice system. Your husband is the progenitor of the prison industrial complex. Three strikes is Bill Clinton. A whole bunch of other shit is Bill Clinton. The war on drugs was continued by him. More black men got locked up while Bill Clinton was president than in the whole history of American slavery. Fuck him. Fuck his wife. You know, she been dirty back since Watergate. You know she was the prosecuting attorney in Watergate? That's how old she is. And she got fired, right? Because she tried to manipulate it so that Nixon could win. Because she figured if he ran again, he'd get slaughtered by the Democrats who ran against him. So she wanted to keep him on. And she was doing things to the investigation to skew it so that he would win. And she got caught. And her boss fired her on the spot. And he said, the only thing I regret is I didn't turn her ass in. So that's who you're dealing with. And I don't expect any, you know, it's like with Obama, right? I don't expect anything different from him than from any other politician. But by the same token, when people pay politicians, politicians supposed to deliver. And the Clintons have not delivered for black people, even though black people seem to love them. Yo, black people did very well under George Bush. They're not going to, a lot of them not going to admit it. Or they going to call them this, they're going to call them that. Black people did very well under George Bush. They're doing so bad under Obama, they disappear from the unemployment numbers. Because unemployment only counts people that apply for unemployment. So
I'm going to have to, I don't think black people did well under George Bush, because at the height of the recession in 2006, 2007, 2008, primarily it was black people who lost their homes. Primarily it was black people who remained uninsured throughout
the
decade.
But George Bush was president 8 years. The recession was two.
That's what I'm saying.
Primarily,
given the statistics, black people did not fare better under George W. Bush's term than Bill Clinton's term. In actuality, we lost a lot of economic power under George W. Bush's term. We lost a lot of political power under George W. Bush's term. So I would have to disagree.
I disagree with that because a lot of the progress that was made under Bill Clinton was a direct result of Bush Sr. raising taxes when he wasn't supposed to. When he said no new taxes, a lot of people supported him. A lot of the rich supported him, right? But he said, yo, I got to pay for this war. And he actually raised the taxes on them. That's why he only made one term, because they turned their back on him.
Right.
A lot of that surplus that Bill Clinton gets credit for and that prosperity is because of those Bush taxes. So we'll have that debate another show, I guess. But in any event, you know, fuck them. You know, many times when we go to the polls, it's like, yo, a lesser of two evils. I really don't know who I'm going to vote for this time. I really don't know. So I'll have to see who's running. It's too bad Elizabeth Warren didn't run. I'd have voted for her. But we'll see how it turns out.
And to close out the show, the final topic, we were going to do the battle of the first date restaurants, but something so pressing in the food category came up, it has to be addressed. The elephant in the room. Oh, Diesel, I turn to your ever-flowing wisdom. McDonald's.
Oh, B.
We'll start doing delivery.
Man. Dude, that shit. Dude, I don't even know what to say about that. person. Now, first of all, let's preface this by the acknowledgement that they're already testing doing breakfast 24 hours a day. Can you imagine McDonald's delivering a McGriddles to your drunk ass at 12 midnight? Can you imagine that? Think about that for a second. It's happy hour. Yeah, one. You told the people you're gonna be one and done. But stuff start going down, man. Them beers are going down easy. So after your seventh beer, you live in New York. You took a train or you took a cab. You know, you got home, and there's not a damn thing in the refrigerator that you don't have to defrost or thaw. You mean to tell me that you're going to be able to get on a computer or a phone and McGriddle-size your ass at 12 o'clock? Get the fuck out of here, man. Yo, that right there. What's next? They're going to have drones deliver it to your house? From the drive-thru, they're going to have a drone delivered to your house with GPS tracking? Because, you know, the drive-thru don't close. So that is just astounding. If McDonald's can logistically pull that off, I salute them, man, 100%.
Jeff J., I know me and you have spoken in private, but please share your thoughts on the possibility of McDonald's doing delivery and doing 24-hour breakfast availability.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
Does that mean, hold on, before I pass the ball, or as Just Jay likes to say, pass the buck to Just Jay, O'Diesel, does that mean, do you envision that McDonald's will have their own branded cars, like those little Red Bull cars, and they're going to
Oh, man.
Brand?
The McMobiles? Dude. Or what if they have, like, an Uber interface where, yo, you can sign up and deliver for McDonald's and get paid on your night off? I mean, I would do it, but I'm sure there are tons of people that want to go get that butter.
Oh, man.
Oh. Unbelievable, man.
Just Jay, back to you, your thoughts.
I mean, what you just proposed with the McMobile just cemented in my mind that, yes, this is a game changer. And it's a game changer in a way that, you know, maybe only in my demented brain could come up with, because I see this as the precursor to people of color being really marginalized and pushed out of the inner city, being pushed out of the urban setting. Because this is what the economy is about now. It's about this service economy, and people want to do nothing but want to have everything given to them. The people who want to do that, primarily who are you know, the churning this out, are the hipsters. They are the gentrifiers. They go, they want their market, their groceries delivered. They want their dry cleaning delivered. They want, you know, everything at the push of a button, so they don't have to leave their environment. So to me, this will make it even more appealing to that set to move into neighborhoods that they deem to be, you know, quote unquote up and coming, or quote unquote, you know, less desirable, because you move into a spanking brand new condo on the middle of Pitkin Ave, you don't even got to leave your apartment to get McDonald's.
Yo, that's fantastic.
You just go to work, take a Uber from work, from the bar home. In the morning, you ride the bus to the train. You don't interact with the neighborhood. you come home, your groceries are delivered, your dry cleaning is delivered, the doorman gets your packages. You
yep.
don't have to step out into the neighborhood and confront the savages head on. Now you're telling me that people will be able to order McDonald's from the comfort of their home 24
without
hours?
Without stepping over that bum at the door asking for change?
Are you kidding me?
Without dealing with teenagers scrapping in McDonald's?
What? This
you
makes
don't
it
have to call.
That more appealing. This makes it that more appealing for those gentrifiers to move into previously undesirable neighborhoods. Because
now you are just
putting another barrier between them and the savages. This
yep.
is a plot to get people of color into the exurbs and into the suburbs so they are locked out of services, they are locked out of jobs, and if you do have a job, all you can do is come in, sweep the floors, and then you got to get your ass on the train and be out of the town by sundown. This is
yep.
what this is. This is a precursor to the changing environment of American cities. Yeah, I said it.
Alrighty then. I still prefer White Castle, and I haven't ate McDonald's since about 2004. So fuck McDonald's. So, with the show almost over, we go to our signature finale. Our parting shot. Oh, Diesel, do us the honors, good friend, good sir.
My parting shot goes to anybody tweeting, Facebooking about this Floyd Mayweather fight, talking about Iran, calling them a monkey, calling them a nigga, calling them a pong pong, calling them a moreno, a cocolo, whatever the fuck. You won, you lost, shut the fuck up. The end.
The shortest O Diesel parting shot in history, by the way. Just Jay, the gentleman adventurer, your parting shot, sir.
Yo, my parting shot goes to Miss Bobby Smallwood and Mr. Maurice Hawkins. Miss Smallwood is the mother of Alan Bullock. Mr. Hawkins is his stepfather, who are now complaining and whining wherever they can that they don't have the money to free the boy of that $500,000 bill.
Oh, yes, yes,
they
yes.
They went and told him to turn
to
himself
turn
in.
Turn himself in.
For breaking the windshield of a police car.
What
now
the fuck did
you
they
are
think
complaining.
Was going to
now you are saddened. Now you are confused. Now you are
complaining
God and Jesus to save your boy from this $500,000 bill. The two of you are so incompetent, so uncaring, and to present yourselves as being some sort of parental models trying to teach your son a lesson is the height of hypocrisy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you weren't teaching him a lesson. You were trying to look good to those in the community. Look what we did. We're trying to raise our boy right. That's all that was.
Yep.
And now he's stuck in jail.
Forever.
$500,000 bail with charges that can get him life. In jail
life
for
in jail
breaking
for breaking a fucking window.
A car.
And unlike the police in this matter, he's on tape.
Can you imagine what that boy must be going through? What he must be thinking about his mother and his stepfather? Fuck them both.
And you know what's the worst thing? Just Jay?
I'm listening.
The last name is Smallwood. My parting shot is for all you bougie hoes.
Whoa.
Brunch eaters.
In New York. You bougie hoes that dress up, put on that Mary J. Blige kind of circa 2002 wool sombrero. You got your legs all out, looking nice, smelling good. I'm on the train. I'm feeling the vibe. The only reason why I took the train is just like, damn, I'm never going to get to this meeting in Union Square on time. So let me just take this 5 train, take this out. But I'm around all these females. They letting the skin out. They feeling bougie. They acting bougie. They acting like they better than us. And I sit down next to these bougie hoes. And they pull out their phones. And it looks like the Get Rich or Die Trying cover. Full of broken glass. Full of bullet holes. And I'm like, damn, bitch.
Oh, my gosh.
That was me today. All right? So before you start acting bougie and acting like you're better than me, get your screen fixed.
Wow.
Doesn't cost you money. Okay? That is my parting shot.
The chick who beat her son's ass on TV trying to, quote-unquote, keep him from the riots. And to every Negro that applauded that shit on TV. So, the message she's sending is that not only can I not control him, but the only way to control a black man is to beat him, to put him in line. And then she's yucking it up with Anderson Cooper. Mind you, she's like a welfare mom with like 6 kids or something like that. You know, why was he out there in the first place? Probably because you couldn't keep track of him because you're too busy with the other kids.
Whoa.
You know, these single moms, these black women, they got to stop that shit. There was another one this week who had her 10-year-old son fake arrested by the cops to teach him a lesson. Not disciplined by his father, because God knows where he is, but you call a man, you call the man on your 10-year-old son? It's just got to stop, man. It's got to stop.
And with that, we are done.
Word.
Great to see and hear the trio back in full effect.
Treacherous.
My apologies.
Back.
Exactly. And a shout out to the Furious Five, who actually won the right to use the name.
Awesome.
And profit off of it, because for years Grandmaster Flash owned it, even though he contributed nothing.
He's a crap. You know that? He's a tremendous crap.
Isn't he from Brooklyn?
I don't know where he's from, but he's a tremendous crap wherever he's from.
I think Flash is from the Bronx.
And you know what? He's not that good of a DJ.
Ooh.
And him and Samuel Jackson are the only ones that still wear Kangos.
And Jordan. He wears that backwards Kango whenever he's like playing golf. Should have gotten a message when LL gave his up. The dream is dead, baby.
I agree. And with that, we wish you peace.
We say to you, peace.
Word.
Peace. Until next.
Peace.
Later.
Peace.